Good morning, everybody. Come on in and find your seat. And if you would, remain standing. We're going to spend some time in the Word. And so just as we start here this morning, we want to invite the Holy Spirit just to come and minister to us. Just as we read His Word together, we need His help to give us understanding and open up the Scriptures to us. I love the verse where Jesus, and He meets the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and He said He opened their mind to the Scriptures. And so that's what we want the Spirit of Jesus to do this morning. So I'm just going to remain silent for about 30 seconds, invite you to pray, and welcome the work of the Spirit this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank You that You have sent the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, to remind us of the things that Jesus has said, to testify to us of who He is, to share with us all that He's received from You. And Lord, we ask now that You would release a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who You are. Holy Spirit, we ask this morning that You would glorify Jesus in our midst, that You would make us more like Him today. Lord, we ask that You would bring clarity to our minds and our hearts. Give us sight and ears to hear, hearts to understand. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the first line of the 23rd Psalm says that the Lord is my shepherd. Which a lot of times you've heard that read maybe at funerals or other times of hardship, and we find those words very comforting to us. There's something that resonates in our hearts, even if many of us have maybe had no experience with sheep whatsoever, but somehow the Lord is my shepherd just resonates in our hearts. But if you stop and take a little bit of time to press into that and think about that, you realize that the other half of that might not be so comforting. A paraphrase of that might be, I am the Lord's sheep. Which, again, when you think it through, may not be such a compliment. Ever notice that nobody ever fears, or you don't hear about anyone ever being like mauled by a sheep? I went to the internet and I looked up rabid sheep. No pictures. There were a couple and they're a little creepy, so kids don't look. Sometimes you hear of things like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Two extreme opposites. Everybody fears and respects, and wolves are beautiful, but then they look like sheep. Like there's just two opposite extremes. When I was little, there's a cartoon. It was old even in my day, but it was Lambert, the sheepish lion. So when somebody's meek, when somebody's mild, when they're timid, they're called sheepish. Ever notice that there's no team with the mascot of the sheep? Because sheep don't inspire fear or awe. They don't portray strength or aggression in any way. We did a family outing a number of years ago. We went on this canopy tour out in Long Creek, which is, there's a bunch of hippies that just sort of gather there in the summer, and then they hire them on as the staff for the zip line. And there's the very last run of this zip line is like this epic line from the top of this mountain in a fire tower, and then it just goes forever. But right before you go, this hippie will say to you, like, what's your spirit animal? You're supposed to say what, like lion or monkey or, no, but nobody says sheep. Nobody says, I'm a sheep. Bah, all the way down, right? No, nobody. But the Lord is my shepherd, and the reality is that we're sheep, but sheep are, they're blind. They really can't see very well. Sheep have no natural defenses. Their teeth are only good for eating grass. So they're fenceless and blind and really not very intelligent. But before we get too offended at this, if we consider more of what the 23rd Psalm says, it says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. Because sheep don't know when enough is enough. Sheep don't know when to quit. Sheep will actually run themselves to death. And before you think you're above a sheep, anyone here ever get in over their heads? Cause themselves physical harm because they took on too much. You're a sheep, and you need a shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Ever be tempted with something you thought was just a little sin, and next thing you know, you get swept up in something that's just too strong for you? You're a sheep, and you need a shepherd. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Ever just feel blind? We were in a situation not too long ago. Somebody says, "You're doing a great job, Dad." I said, "Thanks, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just hoping not to mess up the kids too much. I'm just doing the next best thing. I don't know where this is leading. I don't know how to get to where we should be. I'm just trying to do as best as I can." We're sheep, and we're in need of a shepherd. He refreshes my soul more than just food in your belly. We talked about this a couple weeks ago when we talked about Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life." He satisfies our, refreshes our souls. We're sheep, and we need a shepherd. So the bad news today is that we're sheep, but the good news is that we have a shepherd. Jesus, when he was on the earth, it says in the scriptures that he saw the crowds and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, being harassed and attacked. So today we're in John chapter 10, and we're looking at the seven I am statements of Jesus. And I want to say this is somewhat of a tough sermon to preach, not because there's anything incredibly difficult in this, but Jesus, when he talks about being a shepherd, he says, today we're going to be looking at Jesus when he says, "I'm the gate." And we've got a wedding coming, and so I'm not going to be preaching next week. By the way, this is Rachel's last Sunday here as a single woman. Next Saturday, we're having a wedding. So the next time she comes here, she'll be Rachel Bonomi Santor. And I think I'm handling this well. So I'm going to be busy with that this week. So Tim's coming next week, and Tim's going to preach about I am the good shepherd. And Jesus this week, or as we're looking this week, we're seeing Jesus saying, "I am the gate." But these two things, there's a lot of overlap here. And so I just want to ask you all for some grace, because there may be some things repeated next week, but we're sheep, and maybe we need to hear it twice. So Jesus starts off, and as he's speaking, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees here. He's talking to religious leaders, religious teachers, and the people of Jesus' day had no shortage of teachers, had no shortage of leaders. But they did have a shortage of shepherds. And there's a difference, isn't there? The Pharisees, they observed the law. They were diligent about observing the law. They wanted God's people to be pure, which was an excellent, excellent goal, an excellent aim, but they missed the fact that God's law was given to care for God's people, to shepherd them, to lead them into health and life. And Jesus, he says this in Luke 11, he says, "You experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." They had leaders, they had teachers, but they didn't have shepherds. And throughout the Old Testament, God speaks of his desire that the leaders of his people would be shepherds. It's no wonder that God's preparation of Moses over his people as he had him spend 40 years as a shepherd, or David's preparation to lead his people was time as a shepherd. Because God desires, God's heart is found in this. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord does more than just simply correct my path or show me how I should live. He actually cares for me in this. There's a heart in this as well. Paul echoes this in the New Testament where he tells us, you have many teachers, but few fathers. Is that interesting? Because a father will bring instruction. A father will give commands and orders, and he expects them, rightly so, to be followed out. But there's a heart in that. I've used this example before, but as I've taught my kids, you know, some of their responsibilities in the home are like taking out the trash. And maybe you don't have this in your home, but sometimes our trash cans get really full, and pieces of trash just start falling off around the wastebasket. And so I have to say, child, go in there and empty the trash. They'll run in real quick, scoop up the bag of trash, run out the door, throw it in the big can, and go back to whatever they're doing. I say, no, let's go back and revisit this. One is we need to put a new bag back in the trash can. And do you see all these pieces of paper on the floor? It's not because I love the rules about putting a bag back in the can or picking up all the little papers. My heart is for them to see them succeed and prosper so that when they're in the workplace, they're going to be light, they're going to be a blessing, they're going to receive favor because they're just that diligent, because they learned it here. See, a father will teach, a father will instruct, a father will give commands and rightly expect them to be followed, but there's a heart of a shepherd, a heart of a father caring and directing their child, their sheep, into the way they should go. A teacher can just say, here's the information, and off you go. But a shepherd is engaged. A father is engaged. And we all know stories of teachers and leaders who weren't shepherds. They tried to get in. They tried to receive from the sheep something that wasn't theirs. They were after something from the sheep that would feed them versus seeking how they could feed the sheep. They were seeking their own interest versus that of the sheep. They weren't following the way of the shepherd. And so you can tell a thief or a robber by how they approach the sheep. Jesus goes on, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. How does a shepherd come in? He comes in not seeking his own benefit, but the good of the sheep. The shepherd comes in with this mindset. What do they need to be safe? What do they need to be healthy? What do they need to thrive and grow? The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. See, a shepherd isn't just somebody who says, okay, the sheep are over there, everything looks good, but he's actually engaged and he's actually involved with the sheep. In fact, he knows them by name. Stripey, Spot. I'll stop there. There's some other goofy sheep names. But we all know if you give something a name, it's because you're emotionally attached to that thing. For a while, we tried to be little mini homesteaders, and so we got some pigs, which is not a great way to start. But we told the kids, do not name the pigs, because you're going to get attached to them, and these pigs are food. And so they got around that by naming them Bacon and Pork Chop and Hammy, right? They had, but that's the thing, is that you give names. Jesus, or the shepherd, knows the names of his sheep, and throughout Scripture, names are prophetic words to the destiny of the individual. So Jesus as the shepherd here, actually, you know, we see him change Peter's name because Peter had a destiny. Understand, he may have a little nickname for you, maybe a neat little project to do this week is, Jesus, what's my name? Or maybe even do research on your own name, because there may be more significance to the name that you were given, even if your parents weren't believers. But Jesus knows the name of his sheep, and he calls them. He calls them by their name. This is more than just a teacher. This is more than just a leader. This is a shepherd. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Sheep know the shepherd's voice. which means they know his voice because he's near them. He's spent time with them. He's in their midst. Back to the 23rd Psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he's with us. And so Jesus is painting this picture of a relationship between sheep and the shepherd, where he's with them, he's spending time with them, he's calling their name, he's speaking to them, and they're following him. Sheep, hear and follow. Sheep, listen and follow. Sheep, know the shepherd's voice and follow him. Ever think we make this thing way more complicated than it is? We want lots of programs, lots of activity, lots of busyness. And unfortunately, what we end up doing is drowning out our ability to hear his voice and follow him. That's it. I'm a sheep. That's the only thing I'm responsible to do. It's really the only thing I can do is hear him and follow him. So Jesus, he used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling him. And here's where Jesus, he decides just to shoot straight with him. But here's where the metaphor splits from the shepherd and the door. But again, these things overlap, and it's fitting because as we're going through this I Am series, we understand that Jesus is saying, it's more than just I perform this function. This is part of my nature. This is who I am. This is how I'm representing the Father. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. And Jesus, again, most of us aren't shepherds here, but as a shepherd was leading his sheep from pasture to pasture, from pasture to water, to through other areas, as he would lead them, sometimes he would have to spend time out in the open overnight. And as they're following his voice to green pastures, quiet waters, and through dangerous areas, he would build for them sometimes a temporary pen just using raw material. Sometimes it was just branches and sticks. You know, the background picture there is probably a more permanent structure. But they would, just using what branches and things that they could find, they would build this pen to keep the sheep in a certain area. But you can see in both of these pictures, and even in the third one, there's one small area that's open. And in that one area, overnight, the shepherd would literally lay down and sleep. That's where he would spend his night. The shepherd would literally become the gate. And the shepherd would lay down like that, one, to keep the sheep in. To get out, they'd have to crawl over him and wake him up. Or if other dangerous animals, they would have to get through him to get in to the sheep. And so Jesus is saying, I'm the gate. I'm the one that lays down. I'm the one that lays myself down for your salvation, for the salvation of the sheep. Jesus said this, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And if you look further down in John chapter 10, we'll just touch on these. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. So that Jesus is just genius here in all the layers that he's presenting of himself in this. The thieves and robbers are taking sheep for their own good, but the shepherd is laying down his life for the good of the sheep, which means this. Jesus says, I'm the gate. If anyone comes in, they got to come through me, which means if we're going to receive this type of care, if we're going to receive this type of leadership and this type of provision in our lives, we need to meet Jesus where he's laying down his life. We need to meet Jesus at the cross. We need to meet Jesus at this place where he laid down his life for us, where he stood between us and the wrath of God, where he bore the punishment for our sins. And it's only in that place, and it's in that place of trusting that sacrifice as sufficient to pay for all of our sins, that we enter into his fold, we enter into his flock, we become one of his sheep. And as we surrender, part of our step into salvation is this, we say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I come under your leadership and under your care and under your provision. And as we do this, we receive his care, we receive his leadership, we receive his provision. We're saved. But it doesn't end there. It's more than just we're safe from the judgment of God. It's a daily surrendering. It's a daily learning to spend time in the presence of the shepherd. It's a daily learning to listen to his voice. It's a daily learning to follow him, learning to obey him. Jesus says they will come in and go out and find pasture. Which I always read that before, and I just heard like Jesus just sort of standing at the opening saying, "All right, everybody out, go find pasture. All right, hey sheep, it's time for bed. Come back inside." But Jesus doesn't say that in this, does he? He says, "I lead them," which means they need to follow. I call them, which means they need to respond. Jesus, he leads them. Where is he leading them? He's leading them out to find pasture. He's leading them to come in and find rest. And this idea of rest, it's not taking a nap. It's not a season where you just don't do anything. Rest is surrender. Rest is trust. Rest is intimacy. Suppose you had a job and a coworker quit or moved on or whatever. And so there's a season where there's some needs that needed to be met. And so your manager comes to you and says, "Hey, can you take up these responsibilities in addition so that we can just keep things moving?" You say, "Okay." And so you're completely stressed out. You're overworked, probably not getting compensation for the extra work that you're having to do it. And you may not even really be good at the job that you're trying to cover for. But when they find somebody to come in and step into that place, it's like, oh. And you release all that responsibility to them. It doesn't mean you stop working. You just go do what you're supposed to do, and you've trusted, you've surrendered all of that responsibility back to them. Rest with the shepherd means that the shepherd's got it. The shepherd knows what he's doing. He knows where he's leading us. He knows how to care for us. He knows our name. My job, my work, my place of rest is to listen to the voice of the shepherd. My work, my place of rest, my job is to follow the shepherd. He's got it. And when we fail to just simply, see, that's the thing, is that we think we could do something. We think we can fight and we can be strong enough on our own. We think we can be wise enough on our own. We think we've really, because I've searched all the websites on the internet on this subject, so I know what's coming. I'm an expert. And we fail to rest with the shepherd. We fail to listen to his voice. We fail to follow him, and we leave rest. We actually leave salvation over this. So we listen. We listen. And this rest, it's not meaning that there aren't going to be any difficulties in life. Because again, back to the 23rd Psalm, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Ever have come into a situation where you're like, "I could lose everything"? Ever be in a situation like this could be the end of us? The shepherd's got it. He knows where he's leading us. He knows where the pasture is. He knows where the quiet waters are. Our job is to listen and to obey, follow. Good. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. That means you're going to have enemies. And they don't disappear just because you've surrendered to the shepherd. But it does mean there on display as a testimony of who the shepherd is, you're going to feast in the presence of them right before their eyes. He leads me beside quiet waters. So the thief comes to only steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I used to think this means that everything's just going to go smoothly and there's all strife and my life's going to end. There's not going to be any problems. Everything at work's going to be great. My family's going to be great. And it's just going to be up and up and up until Jesus comes back and we go to heaven. But then there's those seasons where we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's those seasons where enemies are around us. There's those seasons where we're beside waters that aren't so quiet. And you know, there's no good testimonies out there that say, I gave my life to Christ and suddenly my bank account was full, all the strife in my family ended, and I just had perfect peace inside. I never needed anything again. The best testimonies are those where you say, I was at the end of my rope. I was all out of options. I had no strength left. I had no wisdom left. And so I turned to my shepherd. I looked to him. I actually decided to take him at his word. I actually decided, okay, here I am. I've got no other option, so I may as well just give myself even more to Jesus and following him and listening to his voice. And so what does that mean, listening to his voice and following him? What does that look like when we're following him? So let me just borrow from the Sermon on the Mount. I came into a circumstance where pride rose up within me and I wanted to respond and I wanted to strut and I wanted to make myself look good. It's, but my shepherd said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So I heard his voice and I followed him and I embraced poverty of spirit. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is yours. And as I embraced poverty of spirit, the kingdom began to be manifested in my life in ways I never knew possible. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I found that as I was following the shepherd, I found that gosh, my heart was drawn to so many things of this world. But as I began to believe him for who he was, that he was sufficient and life was found in him, I began to say no to those things and embrace a lifestyle of mourning, and I received his comfort like I never knew before. Blessed are the meek. As much as I wanted to exert my own influence, I chose gentleness. I chose meekness, just like he, my shepherd, is gentle and meek. And I followed him in that, and I found my kingdom influence expanded and enlarged. Life in abundance, life in the fullness. I found that as I began to hunger and thirst for more of him, I cried out in my little sheepish voice, Jesus, I want to know you more. I want more of your nature worked in me. I want more of your righteousness. I want more of your love, more of your anointing, more of your wisdom. God, I want these things manifested in my life in a greater measure. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled, satisfied. I just listened to the voice of my shepherd. I just followed him in this. And I came into life, abundance, life in the full. There was a moment where I was betrayed. I was wronged. But my shepherd said, blessed are the merciful, for they receive mercy. So I listened to the voice of my shepherd. I followed him, walking in mercy, just as he was merciful to me. And he gave me mercy. He showed me mercy. So many distractions in life, but the voice of my shepherd says, blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God. And as I looked to him, as I listened to him, as I followed him, as I obeyed his voice and his commands, I began to see him more clearly. Blessed are those who are persecuted. I was ridiculed, I was mocked, I was opposed because I was following my shepherd. But theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Like these things all these areas are ways that we in our own strength try and we don't realize, but we're leaving rest. We're leaving the life in abundance that Jesus is leading us into. And see, these offenses that we face and these sufferings that we go through, he's with us and he's leading us into life. It feels like we're being destroyed. It feels like we're being crushed. It feels like this is the end. It feels like there's no hope, but we're with our shepherd, and we're listening to his voice, and we're following him, and every time in my life, I found green pastures. I found rest in him. I found life. I found safety with him. And Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the point of entry. Jesus, in following him, following the way of the shepherd, following his voice, following his teaching, will lead us there every time. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. He's true. He's good. And he cares for his sheep, and he knows us by name. Ours is to listen and follow. Amen. We have the worship team come forward. We'll close just with a time of prayer. If there is any need here this morning that you would like prayer for, we'd love for an opportunity just to minister to one another. And so if you have a need this morning, it could be a need for healing, could be a need for a relational issue, could be a stronghold in your life that you just can't seem to get free from, we welcome the Holy Spirit and the good things that he wants to do here. And so if you have any need this morning that you'd like prayer for, if you'd be willing just to slip up your hand, we'll have some people gather around you for prayer. All right, we have two right here in the back. Is there any others? Okay. All right. All right, let's stand together. I'll close this in prayer, and then we'll gather around those two. Holy Spirit, we love you, and we thank you Jesus, we thank you for all the ways that you've shown us care and provision and safety, the ways that you feed us, the ways that you satisfy us. We thank you, Jesus, for the way that you lead us. We thank you, Jesus, for all the times that we've blown it, all the times we haven't trusted you, all the times we thought we knew better. And Jesus, you tell the story of leaving the 99 to pursue the one, and the joy that you have when you find us, Lord. We just thank you. Thank you for your discipline. Thank you for your correction. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Jesus, we thank you that you love us so well and so faithfully. Despite our weakness, Jesus, we just ask you today, Lord, I pray for those maybe who haven't ever heard your voice before. Father, I ask that you would open their ears. Father, I pray for those who, Lord, we just ask you for help today. We all need help to listen and follow. So we just ask you, Lord, would you work this in us in a greater way? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray for these two.